Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We're so delighted to welcome Pamela Johnson, our flute soloist. She's played with us before, and we're so happy that she's returned. She's a Door County resident and has played all over Wisconsin during the past 16 years. She's often played for shows at the Peninsula Players with brass bands and Oktoberfest bands. She's also the piccolo player for the Northeast Wisconsin Wind Symphony and can even be heard playing tin whistle with the Sugar on the Floor Barn Orchestra. It's a delight to welcome Dominic Trumfio. Dominic is a professional flutist from Chicago, Illinois. He works mostly in theater and is riding out the pandemic by following fall colors and by sharing music with others whenever possible. He is also the associate music director at Old St. Patrick's Church in Chicago and is happy to join our Moravian faith community this morning. Then Tim Lenihan is a professional pianist from Chicago. He first came up to Door County to music direct at AFT, which is now Northern Sky Theater, in 2012, and then he returned for six more years. Most recently, until the closure of all Broadway shows in March, he has been the associate conductor on the national tour of Les Miserables. This Tuesday, we will be live streaming a memorial service for William Etaw, who died in April. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Please join us as we sing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Time of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer requests. We're certainly thankful for the beautiful day that we have been given, that God has made. We want to remember in our prayers the family of Bill Netterson, who entered the nearer presence of the Savior this past week. We want to remember the family of Bill Etaw, who will be gathering. We want to remember the family of Charlie Burton. Charlie died last year, and he will be laid to rest in our cemetery this Saturday. So let us pray as the family gathers. We want to remember Kevin and Tom, who are recovering. We want to remember Winnie and her family. She's a dear friend of our church, and they are awaiting test results for COVID-19. My brother has asked for prayer for a friend of his, Herman, who has been hospitalized with possible COVID. We want to remember those who are struggling with cancer, for Dean, for Rhea, whose surgery is scheduled for the end of October, and for John. And we also want to remember the children we've been praying for, Jaden, Michael, and Aiden. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We are indeed grateful, O Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're grateful for the love that surrounds us. We're grateful for the beauty of this autumn season. We're grateful for loved ones and kindred spirits. We're so grateful for the life of Bill Netterson, and we ask that you would be with his family as they mourn. As we gather to pay our respects and our sympathy to the family of Bill Etaw, we ask that you bless that gathering and lift the family up. And for the family of Charlie Burton, we're so grateful for his life, for his witness, and we ask that you would be with those who are gathered to pay their final respects to him, knowing that his memory will live on in so many hearts and lives. We bring before you Winnie and her family as they are awaiting results of tests. You know what a difficult and scary time this is. We ask that you would keep them in your grace and power, and that Herman would be sustained by your healing mercy, that Kevin and Tom would know that underneath them are the everlasting arms, that Dean, Rhea, and John would know that you are on the journey with them. Your presence never leaves them. And, O friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless Jaden, Michael, and Aiden. We ask all of these favors in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Our scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you.
This morning's reflection comes from Pastor Dan Olson. None of us would enjoy being carted off to the Crowbar Hotel, especially if we had done nothing wrong or illegal. Imagine the shame of it when people found out what had happened to us. It would be a horrible experience, to say the least. Would we get out? Few of us can imagine possibly what it would be like to be locked up in a prison. The fact is, we are in prison. We find ourselves held captive by situations of our own making and by things that are forced upon us. Right now, we are imprisoned by a deadly virus that seems to be uncontrollable. Just now, it seems everything in our country is divided and, frankly, dangerous. As things are right now, we are troubled, uneasy, worried. We may be in the chains of disease, of strained relations, of loneliness, of financial difficulty. It is an unsettling thing to be out of control, victims of the cruel whims of human life. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote his letter to the Philippians. How could it be remotely possible for him to say, "Have no anxiety about anything"? As always with Paul, hope and faith abound. He concludes with these well-known words, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When the handcuffs rub painfully on our wrists, we too are set free when we let go with complete abandon to trust in the power, grace, and freedom of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to talk about fights today. I'm not talking about fisticuffs. I mean those verbal fights, those spats we get into. And the reason I'm talking about that is because Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote Philippians, was a master at those kinds of verbal fisticuffs. I think he rather enjoyed it. You remember in the book of Galatians, the letter that he wrote, one of the first things he did was he took on the whole church and said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And then further on in that book, he was confronting the great apostle Peter. You know, the man who Jesus said, "You have the keys to the kingdom, and on this rock I will build my church." This towering figure of a man, Paul said to the Galatians, "I saw Peter and I withstood him to his face." There was another fight that Paul got into with his friend Barnabas, and it meant that they split up their missionary journeys. They no longer traveled together. He knew something about fights. Kind of admire the man because of that. Sometimes I love getting into people's faces. I remember in my last church, I called a woman whose husband was dying, and I said, "You know what I miss most about him?" And she said, "What's that?" I said, "Our fights." But even the Apostle Paul knew that although he liked to mix it up, there is one thing you never get in the middle of, and that's when two women are going at it. Two strong women, you do not try to take sides, you don't try to split them up, because you know if you do, your life will never be the same. So you stay out of it. Paul was smart enough to stay out of that particular disagreement. And it was a disagreement between two towering women of faith, Euodia and Syntyche. One day, when I'm on the other side of glory, I want to look them up. I'd like to know if they remember 2,000 years later what the dispute was about, but I want to look them up because they had to be strong women, and they were women of passion. They were women who were leaders. And even Paul, who mixed it up in so many arguments, took a step back. And all he said to those women were, "Please, I urge you to be of one mind." Urge them to be of one mind. He didn't say, "I'm going to take sides." He didn't say, "Euodia, you have a stronger argument than Syntyche." He begged them to have one mind. And then he told the bearer of the letter, "Help them. Not mediate between them. Help them." Well, what does it mean to be of one mind? Because you see, we all have arguments. We all have disagreements. There are so many ways in which we are fighting these days. We have political arguments. We have arguments in families. That's going to happen. And sometimes those arguments are very necessary because we're trying to figure out important issues. But when he says, be of one mind, he's not saying agree with each other. What does being with one mind mean? Well, you remember earlier in Philippians, he said, have this same mind, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and became a servant. And so what Paul is saying to Euodia and Syntyche and to us all is that when we are of one mind, it is the servanthood of Christ. It is obedience to Christ. It is trying to figure out how to usher in God's kingdom. And we might have disagreements with how to do that, but we know what God's kingdom is about. And God's kingdom is about justice. God's kingdom is about kindness. God's kingdom is about lifting all people up who are oppressed. And this is what we are to be about. So he's saying to those two ladies in that time period, whatever your dispute is, look at the goal. And if you're both on the same page for the goal, you'll figure out the rest. If we are on the same page as to what this country needs, that this country needs healing, that this country needs to come together, then regardless of how we think we should get there, if that is the goal, then God will help us to figure it out. I remember in my last church, we had a wonderful problem. This was early on in my ministry. We had too many kids and not enough space. And so I came up with a plan how to fix that. And I presented this plan in all its glory to my trustees because it involved money, it involved fundraising, and I was raring to go. And one of my trustees looked at me with such disdain, and he said, "Pastor, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard." And so my response was not loving. I said to him, "Well, you got something better in mind?" And he said, "As a matter of fact, I do." I said, "Fine, then do it." And he did. And it was wonderful. And it was cost effective. And he figured it all out. And all I had to do was sit back and watch him work. It was wonderful. Because the goal was not my getting my way or even him getting his way. The goal was so that we'd expand our space to meet the needs. What are you fighting about these days? If you're fighting so you can win, you've already lost. If you're fighting because there's something really important, the soul of your family, the soul of your community, the soul of your nation, don't stop the fight, but remember what the goal is. And the goal is always servanthood to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The goal is always bringing people together and lifting them up. And Paul reminds us that we have a choice in these fights. Anytime there's a dispute, we have a choice. And what is that choice? He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times." And the reason we can do that is because the Lord is at hand. That doesn't mean the Lord's waiting to come back. That means the Lord is at hand right here, right now. Even when you're going at it, the Lord is at hand. Maybe if we remember that, we might be a little nicer to each other. The Lord is at hand. My auntie, who was quite a powerhouse, said, "I have a philosophy. Every morning when I wake up, I say to myself, I can either be miserable today or joyful. I choose joy." What are we going to choose in the days ahead? When we have disagreements, let's not shy away from them. Know what we're disagreeing about, but always choose joy. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the disagreements. We thank you for the arguments. We thank you for the sharp speech, because they reflect our humanity. And we thank you, O Lord, for the goal of the kingdom, for the joy set before us, for all the ways in which you guide us. And we ask you, O Lord, this day to be with us as we are in the battle for the souls of our nation, our community, our families. May we always be servants of your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, in the name of Jesus. Amen.